Obviously, since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I think the theme of this passage is the best ways to glorify God when the end is near. You know, Christians since the time of Christ have thought that Jesus was going to return like today, like tomorrow. So that time has always been what we call imminent, expected that Jesus would come back. And Peter was that way too. He lived every single day of his life expecting the Lord to return. But Peter was also kind of a practical guy. You know, if you're a fisherman, you've got to be kind of practical. Your nets are going to break. There are going to be certain kind of fish that bite on certain things and other things they won't bite on. You got to know how to fix your boat. You got to know how to sell things. He knew all that. He was a practical type of person. And so when he speaks to us in the Bible, when he writes this passage to us, he writes to us in practical ways that we'll understand and be able to use in our lives. Now, these are good, encouraging words that he has for us. He is saying that the end of all things is at hand. It's imminent. It could occur at any moment. So we shouldn't be surprised by these things. And Peter wanted to bring praise to and glorify God with his life, just like we should every day. We should want to praise God and bring glory to him. So how should we live? How should we be as the end grows closer? Well, in this passage, I found four commands to glorify God as the end is at hand. And it's not just four commands there, but there's also an ultimate goal at the end. You'll see it in the last part of verse 11, the ultimate goal. So Peter gives us four things to focus upon. First of all, I found in this passage, we should pray harder with a cool and calm head, according to verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." So that you can pray. You know, prayer becomes even more important when we're persecuted, doesn't it? We seem to spend more time on our knees when there's someone chasing us, something chasing us. This verse gives us two mindsets to have during those times. First of all, he says, be clear-minded. Be clear-minded. Be of sound judgment. It means to keep cool. It means to be in the right mind. It means not to panic, not to be carried away by passions. The second is to be self-controlled. Self-controlled, to be sober, to be intellectually sound. Intellectually sound. To be smart, free from delusions. Our prayers are to be clear, reasonable, sober communication with God. You know, that's what Peter heard from Jesus at Gethsemane, didn't he? Jesus said to do what to Peter? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. He says that in Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Crisis crushes, doesn't it? You know, when it crushes, it also defines and refines and purifies. There's a story about a man who was close to Mount St. Helens when it erupted in 1980. And I don't know how close he was to the mouth of this volcano. He could have been too close because I've seen the results of what happened afterwards. But he was close enough when that mountain blew her top. And he was close enough that he felt he had to run for his life. And he had his camera on and his mic was on too. And the pictures are dark. And his voice was also recorded as he ran. You know, it was pretty eerie. He breathed deeply. He sobbed. He panted. And he spoke directly to God. There was no formality, no cliches. He's just a cry of a creature in distress. God help me. God save me. What am I doing here? He decided he made a wrong decision somewhere along the line. You know, when we take away the shield of safety, when we remove the cushion of comfort, the soul is exposed as it truly is. And you know what? That's the way we're supposed to pray to God. With urgency. With sincerity. Being real with God when we pray. Being real. With a cool and calm head. Pray harder. With a cool and calm head. So that's what I found, first of all, in verse 7. Let's move on to verse 8. A second command to do when the end is at hand. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, as Christians, love is to be our trademark. Or our birthmark. We're to love like there's no tomorrow. We're to give it all we got. We're to love like our life depends upon it. And it uses this word fervently to describe how we're supposed to love. Fervently. It's a fervent type of agape love, unconditional love. And that word fervently is used of an athlete who is straining every muscle to win the gold. He's at the finish line and he's reaching for the gold. In other places, it's used of a horse who's at full gallop. You can see every muscle taut as he's stretching onward. You know, every chapter in 1 Peter talks about loving one another. So it's five times. It's said five times in 1 Peter. To love one another. And Peter tells us why to love this way. He quotes Proverbs 12:10. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love protects. Love doesn't expose. Love forgives. I like 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. There is a story told about General Robert E. Lee. And one day he was asked what he thought of a fellow officer in the Confederate Army. And this guy was not a nice guy. He had made some really negative remarks about General Lee. And General Lee thought for a minute, and he said, "I would rate him as being very satisfactory. Very satisfactory." And the reporter stepped back and he said, "Now wait a minute, General Lee, don't you know what this guy's been saying about you? Behind your back, he's been saying all this stuff." And General Lee responded, "I know, but I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me." Love deeper. Love intensely with this life that we have here on this earth, the people have brought, that God has brought into our lives. Love them with all you got. So we should pray harder with a cool and calm head. We should love more intensely. And we should cheerfully be hospitable, according to verse 9. Cheerfully be hospitable. It says in verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. Literally, it means here to love strangers, to love or be friendly to strangers. Go out of our way to help them refresh. This was a very important thing in the first century because they were being chased many times because of their faith. They would go from city to city, and they would dive into people's homes for a bite to eat or a place to rest. Or maybe a pastor or a traveling brother would come and speak, and they would put them up for the night. We should do this with warmth. It says, without grumbling. And the Greek word there is gon gousmon. Gon gousmon. And I want you to say that with me. Gon gousmon. Gon gousmon. Gon gousmon. It's a word that's onomatopoetic. It kind of sounds like what it means. You know, you're grumbling. So do this stuff without grumbling. We should never be like our Czech friends. They used to tell us that after 4 days, guests begin to smell like dead fish. That should never enter our minds. We should cheerfully be hospitable. You know, we stayed in many homes when we were missionaries, and our children remember those days, the times we spent. We remember those times too. It was always good memories when people showed hospitable. They were hospitable towards us. They helped us. They were friendly to us. You know, last week I shared something about Joel and the things that he remembers. First thing is the life that he remembers. And with our oldest son, one of the things that he remembers is when somebody was hospitable towards us. He remembers other things too. I remember one time we were working at a group home for teenage girls. We had 10 daughters besides our son with us. And I hadn't driven my pickup truck for a while, and opened the door up. I put David in there, and I saw something move on the back of the seat, and I just reached like that and grabbed it. It was a mouse. And I just squished that thing before it could bite me. And then all the girls who were sitting in the back bed of the trunk saw what I did, the dead mouse, and they just all screamed and ran out of there. And David was watching this, and he was so disappointed that we weren't going to go for this ride, the gravel road in the pickup truck. And he remembers that. And a couple months later, one of my friends, we left that job and came to Ashland to do an internship, and one of my friends drove his big dump truck out there. We threw all of our stuff in the back of this dump truck. And he says, "Dad, I remember specifically the day that guy came and was hospitable towards us. He showed us that he really did love us by the things that he did." So we should cheerfully be hospitable to other believers. It's a command. It's something we do out of love for them. And the final thing that I found is found in verses 10 through 11. Serve smarter using our gifts. Serve smarter using our gifts. It says there, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Faithful administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We do it, use our gifts with all we've got. Not to be lazy about the use of gifts that God has given to us. Each Christian has received a spiritual gift from God. And it's something, it's a gift. It's something that God gives us. It's not something that you can learn, you know, learn to do this, but it's something that God has gifted us to do. It's to be used to serve the church, the body of believers. And each believer's gift is unique. So God's grace is manifold in the way he distributes these gifts to each one of us. So each one of us is unique, kind of like a fingerprint or a snowflake. Kathy Hurdy sent me a picture of a tiny snowflake this week. Tiny, tiny thing, but you could see it was very, very unique. God's handiwork with us is colorful, many colored, and it's multifaceted. It's beautiful, and it adds to the beauty of God's body, the church. The church. Two types of gifts are mentioned in verses 10 through 11, and the first one is found in verse 11. It says, is speaking, the speaking gift. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. He should remember that he is being God's ambassador. He is sharing precious things with people. And he shouldn't be, you know, lazy about the way he does it, but he should do this with all of his might. The second one is serving gifts. He should do it with the strength that God provides. He gives us help so that we can get these things done. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. Manage each with dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Not long ago, I was in Chicago, and there's a museum at Moody Bible Institute, and it tells the story of Dwight L. Moody. And you know, this guy was a pretty gifted evangelist. He never went to school. He wasn't an educated type guy, but he was just in love with Jesus. He was called Crazy Moody because of his appeals to men, young men, to receive Christ as their Savior. And, you know, he'd go downtown. It was dangerous, the stuff that he was doing. So everybody thought he was pretty wild. But God's Spirit enabled him to do things for the poor and the lost in Chicago that God didn't use anyone else like that. Dwight L. Moody was used for that purpose. And as he grew older, thousands came to hear him preach. I don't think it was because he was so eloquent for the words that he used, you know, fancy flowery words, but he used a lot of real stories about people coming to know Christ, how he shared Christ with people, and how they accepted a free gift of salvation. No, anybody, this wasn't a job that anybody could do, but this was a job that God called Dwight L. Moody to do, and a job that God gifted Dwight L. Moody to do. And without that spiritual gifting, he wouldn't have been able to do it. He served smarter by using the spiritual gift that God gave him to use, the ability to speak with people and tell people about Jesus. So this passage is a wonderful passage. They're good words. Tell us the best ways to glorify God. when the end is near. We should pray harder with a cool and calm head. We should love more intensely. We should cheerfully be hospitable. And we should serve smarter using our gifts. Four commands, all to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A couple questions as we end today. Let's go back to that important word there, fervent. Fervent. Are you fervent in your love for God? Are you loving Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength? Would you describe your love for God like that? That's what it means to be fervent for God. Second question is, are you using your spiritual gifts to build up God's church? That's what they're there for, to be used to help increase, build up God's body, His church. And the final question is, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you made that decision in your life where you say, I want no longer for the throne of my life to be sat upon by me, but I want Jesus to sit on that throne and be the center of everything. I want Him to be Lord of my life. It's the most important question that we can ask of ourselves. Where is Jesus? What part of our life does He control? Does He own me? Am I His? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your love for us. Thanks for helping us each day to follow You, to love You more. Even during times when things are uncertain, Lord, we just pray that Your hand be upon us. You'll bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.